Today we're looking at Psalm 91, the second half of Psalm 91, starting in verse 9. So listen to these words. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I think for all of us, there are storms that happen in our lives. We are very familiar with the storms now that happened throughout North Carolina and through the other southern states, and the issues that they are having and what they're having to go through. It will probably be more than a year before some of those people can even start to get back to something that's called normal, because whole things are gone. Whole things are wiped out. There's enough destruction from Damascus on down, as I've seen many of the stories about what happened in Damascus and then in Nashville. There are storms that come to our lives, and sometimes those storms are a spiritual storm, not so much a physical storm. And those spiritual storms can come and overwhelm us. One of the things that I think we need to be honest is we cannot weather the storms ourselves. We need to be honest. We cannot weather the storms ourselves. We need other people around when the storms happen. That brings us comfort. But we also need God. I know that there's a lot of people that say, I don't need anybody, I don't want anybody to help, I'm not going to share with anybody about the storms that are happening in my life. The truth is, we need to be honest. We can't control the storms, whether they're physical storms or whether even they're spiritual storms or mental storms. We can't control any of them. There are people that say they can. There are people that believe that they can. But I'm going to be honest with you, I know I can't. And I'll just be upfront with you. There's no way that I can control the storms that happen in my life. Some of the storms are outside of me, and some of the storms are inside me. They happen. And they continue to happen. And one of the things that I must recognize is that I've got to have a place of refuge. I've got to have a place of refuge for protection, for rest, and for recreating. There's got to be a place that I can go to. Crossed my mind this morning as I was thinking about this when I was 16 and in the backwoods of Maine, crossing a lake that was rather large, and a thunderstorm came up, and the next thing we know, we had 3 to 4 foot swells on the lake while we're in canoes. And it was all we could do to paddle to try to hit just the tops. And finally, Ronnie and I, who were in the canoe together, we turned and looked at my dad, who was there as an advisor helping us for that trip that we took. And we said, can we just go? And my dad said, go for it. And we tried to go as fast as we could so that we could get to the other side of the lake to where we were supposed to be. And the storms were so bad and so terrible that we had to call in to base camp and get another place to camp that night, because there was no way we were going to make it back across the lake again. The storm came up about halfway across the lake. We needed a place of refuge. We needed a place where we could get out of the water. We needed a place where we could settle down and be comfortable. I can think of many other camping trips throughout my life because I, as a boy, I probably every month was camping somewhere from age 11 to age 18, out somewhere. And you don't go every month and not be in the midst of storms at some point and some time. And you need a refuge. You need a place that you can get up under, that you can get away, that you can rest so that you can be ready for the rest of the journey. But also so that you can recreate. Not recreation. By the way, the spell check wanted to change that word to recreation. And I was like, that's not the word I mean. I mean recreating ourselves. I've been in the midst of a storm. Something has happened to me. And there's going to be some recreating that happens because the storm has affected me. And I need that refuge. And I need that place that I can find myself again. But then I also must realize that only God, our Creator, can provide this kind of place. God is the only one that provides that place, a place of protection. God wants to take care of me. God wants to watch over me. God wants to help me. God wants to give me a place to rest. I know we stay so busy that we can't rest. You don't know how much I've got to get done. We were talking a little bit about that this morning. In our time growing in Christ this morning. And it came to me. You know, God worked how many days in a row? Six. And then God did what? God rested on the seventh day, it says. God worked 6 days and God rested. So many of us find a reason that we've got to stay busy. So many of us find a reason that we must keep going and that we must go on and on and on. Right? I got so many things I've got to get done. Well, here's what I've thought of. Many years ago, I thought about it this way. If God felt like God needed a rest, then who am I to say I don't need one? If God found a reason to take one day out of every seven to rest, who am I to say that I can work days on end without a rest? God provided an idea for us that we need to rest. That we need to take time away from the busyness of life. That we need to pause. So God provides not only a place where God's protecting us from everything that's around us, but God provides a place that we can rest. That we actually can stop doing things. I hope that you have at least a day of rest in every seven. I'm not of the nature that, or of the belief that it has to be Sunday. Because there are people in our lives that have to work on Sundays. For example, the people, nurses and technicians at the hospital. Somebody has to be there on Sunday to help the people that are there. Okay? Police and fire department, first responders, somebody has to respond on Sundays. Do you take at least one day? Do you pause and rest? Or do you find yourself so important that you must work 7 days in a row and you must keep working? Otherwise, things won't hold together if I don't. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. If God found a need to rest, the all-powerful, the almighty, the all-wonderful, who are we to say that we don't need a place of refuge where we can get some rest? And God provides a place where we can search deep within our hearts and recreate, renew, refresh, transform, change. God provides a place where we can do that, where I can actually sit down and look at what has happened to me in the midst of this storm. And how can I recreate who I am because of the storm? Sometimes the storm brings about a physical ability that, or a loss of a physical ability that we can't use anymore. How do I change? How do I recreate? How do I continue to walk the walk that God has for me? Folks, do you have a refuge? Do you have this kind of place where you can go for protection? Where you can go for rest? Where you can go for recreating? I chose this picture as a backdrop because of a story that I heard one time that was a true story. I was fortunate when I was at Virginia Tech that I was part of the forest fire fighting squad, firefighting squad, and was able to go a number of different times to fight forest fires around Blacksburg. And I wish I knew all the places that I went. And I heard about, well, before I go there, one of the jobs of fighting forest fires is called the mop-up crew. It is a very undignified, not fabulous job in any way whatsoever. The four guys that I hung out with during college, the forest rangers all called the five of us the mop-up crew, because they couldn't wait to get us on a mop-up crew, and I don't think I ever went on one. And a mop-up crew is the people that come after the fire has been contained and mostly put out, and you walk through with a giant jug of water on your back. It's called an Indian pump, in case anybody's ever seen one of those. I don't, and by the way, I don't know an Indian pump that doesn't leak. So your whole backside ends up wet. And you walk around kicking over logs and kicking over pine cones to see if there's any embers left underneath them to put them out with the water you have on your back. And because you're doing that, there's a lot of smoke and ash that comes up, and you end up covered in smoke and ash. And I think that's why the Rangers couldn't wait to get us five on a mop-up crew, because they just wanted to see us as dirty as possible, since we were always instigating things. But the story I heard about one time was about somebody on a mop-up crew going through checking for embers anywhere, and they found a mother bird that was dead. So they kicked it over to see if there was anything underneath of it that needed to be put out. And they found chicks that were still alive. The mother had given them a place of refuge, a place of protection. And the mother bird lost her life to protect the chicks. And this is one of the images that we find in Scripture in a number of different places, where it talks about God says, I will be your refuge. Amen. I will hide you under my wings. Jesus even stands on the Mount of Olives before the crucifixion, and he looks down upon the city and he says, if only you would let me gather you up under my wings, I would protect you. If only. And I can only imagine Jesus crying at that point that people wouldn't do that. If only. I'm going to weather the storm myself. I can make it myself. I don't need help. God is the only place we can find that refuge. Amen. That is the only place. We think some other places are refuge, but that's not true. And I want you to see some of the great benefits, because it says the benefits of God as a refuge are found in verses 14 through 16. Listen to these. God says this, because you love me, I will rescue you. I will protect you, for you acknowledge my name. You will call on me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Do you hear what God's saying? These are recorded as God's words. Because it says in verse 14, says the Lord. A very specific God. The God who saved us and provided salvation for us. Yeah, I changed the pronouns. I changed the pronouns because I want to hear you. I want you to hear what God is trying to say to you. What God is trying to speak to you about. Because you love me. My definition of love that I've used for a great number of years now is love is looking out for the other person's best interest even when it costs you. That's what love is. And God showed that kind of love in Jesus Christ. God loved you so much that God was willing to pay the cost of losing a son. That's how much God loved you. Do you love God that much? Are you willing to lose whatever you've got to show God the love that you have for God? Are you willing to speak up when it's unpopular? Are you willing to share with other people where you found a refuge? Where you know where it is? Because you love me, I will rescue you. It doesn't say I might or I may. God says, I will. God says, I will protect you. For you acknowledge my name. You will call on me and I will answer you. You know me with a relation to prayer. Prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is not a time that you come to God and tell God how to fix everything in your life, your family's life, and the world. That is only a part of prayer. Prayer is also taking the time to see what God has to say to you. It's a conversation. It's not a, I come and I tell God how to fix everything. That would be pretty. Tell God how to fix everything? I come and I tell God what concerns me. And I listen for what God has to say. Because as we talked about in our time this morning, sometimes I'm the answer to my own prayers. I have to make some choices, and I can find out that I answer my own prayers by the choices I make. Sometimes I got to put my feet in the fire. Sometimes I did. There's multiple times throughout the month that I read about, those, you remember those three guys in the fire? Do you remember those three guys in the fire? Do you know what they said before they went in? They said, "Our God can save us. But if God chooses not to today, that's okay with us. We still believe in God." And when the king looked in the fire, what did the king see? Four people walking around in the fire. But they only threw three in. And by the way, the fire was so hot, when they threw the three in, anybody who pushed them in died from the heat of the fire. And the king looks in the fire and sees four walking around. Huh, I wonder who the fourth one was. God was right there walking with them, and they come out of the fire praising God. God was their refuge. God was the one that was protecting them. Even in the midst of the fire, they must have had some kind of rest. It says their hairs weren't even singed. Wouldn't that be great, brother?
Amen.
Amen. I love to pick on Jerry. He has such a great part in his hair. But these guys came out of the fire. God was their refuge. And they believed that before they went in. And they said, even if that doesn't happen, I'm okay with what happens, and I still believe in God. Can we walk that way? I mean, look at all these benefits. Scripture is just filled with the benefits. If I will walk with God and I will obey what God asked me to do, it is just full of benefits. How can we even walk around complaining? You know where this all goes for me, I know. You can tell me what point five is without her putting it up there, can't you? You got it, don't you? Let's see if you got it right. Or let's see if you're thinking the same way I am, not so much right. As we deepen our relationship with God, we understand refuge better. The life of faith, the life of spirituality for me is all about my relationship with God. It's all about being able to communicate with God. It's all about being able to share with God where I am and allowing God to share with me what I need to know from God. It's about a relationship. Relationships don't last if you don't talk. Relationships don't grow if you don't talk. And as I talk with God and listen to what God has to say, my relationship grows with God. And when that relationship grows, I know better what it means to have God as a refuge. I know how God's protecting me. I know how God's speaking to me. I know how God's talking with me. And I don't know, just as a seed, because this is what I'm going to share this afternoon in a nutshell. When God talks, it produces challenges in our lives. Will I believe that that's the refuge that God's providing? Will I believe that that's the wisdom that God's providing? And will I put some feet to it? Because just believing it doesn't work. There's a lot of things I believe. I believe a lot about quantum physics that I read and about interactions between this and that and the other and how all these protons, neutrons, and muons and all these things work. I got you, right? You guys are following, right? There's a lot there that I believe about all that stuff. But it's only when I put my feet to it and apply it to my life can there be a difference. I can say that God's my refuge. But am I willing to use God as a refuge? Am I willing to let God protect me? Am I willing to take the rest that God wants me to have? Am I willing to do the tough work of recreating who God wants me to be? Am I willing to do that? That's what it means for God as refuge. And I need to deepen that relationship with God in order to process and work through those things. So I'm going to leave you with this question. What step must you take to know God better as refuge? What step? You know, those little chicks wouldn't have lived if they decided they didn't want to be under the mother's wings. Are you willing to be under God's wings as a refuge so that you truly can live? Are you willing? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you sometimes not really understanding what we need. We cry out, we yell out, we reach out. But sometimes we're not quiet enough to hear the wisdom you're sharing with us about how to find a refuge. How to find a place where there's protection. Not just from the ups and downs of this world, but also from the evil in the spiritual realm. And sometimes, Lord, we don't listen to where we can rest. We believe that we got to keep moving forward to maintain. We got to keep being busy and being part of so many things to maintain. And then sometimes we're not willing to do the tough work of just recreating, renewing, rebirthing. Regenerating. So, Lord, please help us to pause and truly find you as refuge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.